semi-conscious. I find that to be a good thing. I want to take a moment and just brag a little bit. Is Craig in here anywhere? I see Tammy. Oh, he's upstairs. Okay, sorry. Well, Craig is upstairs. Yesterday, I had a phone call from another church wanting to know if our Jesus could come and do something at their church. And I said, I'll have to ask Jesus if he can come. So that was actually probably a month ago, and I just gave Craig the number, and he kind of worked that out. And he got to go do that yesterday. And then Joe, the night that we had the young lady that was raised in Russia here, and she shared, some people from the Methodist church here, the church where Craig went was the Methodist church in Albia, and the Methodist church here wanted Joe to come do a commercial. And I don't know if the preacher, we might, I don't know. But she said, if you're going to talk very long, we don't have a lot of time, because she preaches at two churches. So she has to get done here and leave. So she said, if you're going to talk very long, I'm not going to have time. Why don't you just do the whole sermon? So Joe preached this morning at the Methodist church here in town. And I'm saying, both of our young men, praise God for them. So that's what this is all about, is just trying to be involved in the kingdom of God wherever the doors of opportunity come. So done with that. We still have boxes, I think. I'm not sure if we have the little labels. I'm not sure about that. But if you took a label and only did one box, if you want to bring that other label back, just lay it on that table. We don't have a lot of time left, but we have a pretty lofty goal. And I know a lot of boxes have gone out of here. And I will tell you, I went to a garage sale one time, and all the tables there said Church of the Nazarene on them. Do I need to explain that? They had borrowed them one time and never brought them back. They just became good, useful tools for their home. Tables for them. If you've ever called and said, can I borrow a few tables, and got told no, that's why. That's why, right there. So some of you in a few months are going to have a really nice shoebox with stuff in it put up on a shelf. If you took a box, fill that box and bring it back, okay? Thank you. That was a commercial for the shoebox ministry. We'll put the label. Good plan. Good plan. See, Joe was in charge of that ministry. That's why he went this morning. And they have my name, and I'm grateful. You know, I mean, you had to sign a contract with those people. You don't know how hard it is to work with a worldwide ministry. We had to sign a contract, and who signed it? Moi. But who does the work? Joe and Patty Brown. Patty Brown and Joe do the work, and I get the shirts. I tried to give Joe my shirt, and he said it was too big and hot, and all. He made excuses. Really? And no, sure, I know. They're going to sell you the stuff to go in it. You bet. That's a great idea. Take two boxes to Dollar General. Just take your box to Dollar General, and then as you fill it, you know it's right. And look, if you say, you know what, I really get it, but I really don't want to go fill a box, put some money in an envelope and write on there Shoebox Ministry, and I'm going to just tell you what we're going to do. We get boxes from all over. They come here. We're kind of the area collection site. And man, people will come in here and hand you a box, and you can tell there ain't three things in it. We're not sending a box like that. Not happening. So we will take your money, and we will go buy a bunch of trinkets, smaller gifts, and when one comes in like that, we'll just load that puppy on up. We're going to send good boxes away from this church. That's how it works. Y'all are kind of I forgot, Vern and Kathy. I used to have to do so much work around here. Now I've become sort of a figurehead. We used to load those boxes and take them to Ottumwa. Last year, I waved by as they were leaving. Those guys right there took them. I'm like, praise God. That's how it's supposed to be, man. People are stepping up. Now, I told you Craig went up there and Joe went over there. I ain't going to let them preach. That's different. But I will. Craig told me this morning, we were talking about Joe, actually, and I was asking him how it went. And he said, they're asking Joe to preach the sermon. I said, yeah, I know. He said, would you do that? And I said, no. So let me preach this sermon. But let me tell you, now, if you were in my Sunday school class this morning, get those boxes done, because we want 250 boxes done out of this church. And there's no reason we can't do that. No reason we can't do that. This morning, I believe it was in Sunday school, and I was saying how that a lot of times I will go home on Sunday afternoon and turn on a preacher, or even on Sunday night, and a lot of times the theme, sometimes the very same passage, what I preach, other guys, it's on TV. And I'm like, I know, and you know, I realize they're probably not, a couple of them are actually from that morning. Tonight, they will be on what they did this morning, but I know they're not, but they're within a, you can tell, a couple of weeks because of things they're talking about. They're in pretty close. And I said in my Sunday school class, I believe God says, this is the message I want to have preached. And it just comes, and pastors get it, and then you flesh it out in your world. And so I'm sitting here this afternoon, and it's Perry Stone. I like to watch Perry Stone, and he started, and my wife said, I love that story right there. And it's a great story. So let me give you a little quiz. What does Bethlehem mean in Hebrew? House of bread, house of bread. Wow. I'm not going to preach. Y'all know my sermon? I'm supposed to be doing, I got to get them a date. I'm supposed to be preaching at a church in Des Moines for their spring revival. And I'm longing to preach my sermon on Let's Bake Some Bread in Des Moines, Iowa, because that's where it came from in my spirit. The by the hospital, you know, Colonial Bread, the smell of fresh bread. Wow. So he's preaching that, and tonight, it's not the same sermon, but I think you'll get it. It's all here if you ask for it. That's the sermon title. Now, I gotta swallow a cough drop. Give me a second. If I gag, 911, get that on your phone. We didn't sing enough. Man, when a cough drop won't run through, I should be able to run through a cough drop during the song service, but they cut it short tonight. That's okay. In Luke 18, that's not where I'm preaching from. I can't see who's up there. In Luke 18, it starts by saying something like, and Jesus taught them a parable that men ought always to pray and not faint. That's kind of, I think that's 18:1 close. If it's not, I'm not preaching there anyway. I'm just going by memory. And then it says, there was in a certain city a widow who had an adversary with which she was trying to, I guess, sue him in that understanding. And so she would go to the judge. But the judge was an unjust judge. And it said, though he did not regard man nor God, yet because she came constantly, he said, even though I don't regard God or man, I'm going to give this widow what she wants to basically get her out of my hair. And Jesus said, if that unjust judge gave in to the pleas of a widow, how much more will your Father in heaven give in quickly when you ask him? Now, everybody know the story of the unjust judge, right? Whoosh, go back to Luke 11. This is similar, but not the same. The similarity is it's about prayer. What a friend we have in Jesus is true tonight. Take it to the Lord in prayer. This is a revival sermon. The week before. This is the week before revival sermon. You ready? Luke 11:5-10. And Jesus said to them, which of you have a friend shall have a friend and go to him at night, midnight, and say to him, friend, you see, this is not the unjust judge. This is a friend of yours. Some of you can put yourself into this situation. Which one of you having a friend will go to him at midnight and say, friend, lend me 3 loaves, for a friend of mine has come to me on his journey, and I have nothing to set before him. And he will answer from within his house and say, don't trouble me. The door is shut. My children are in bed with me. Every time I read that, I think of my son. They brood over there, man. They huddle up. I know. It's biblical, buddy. It's biblical. We had what they call nurseries. You took the little babies in the nursery. Some people, they want their children in the bed with them. I mean, that's just how they live, man, and it's a good thing. I'm just joking him, but it's a good thing. It's biblical. It says so right there. He says, I cannot get up right now and give it to you. And I say to you, this is Jesus now, though he will not rise and give to him because he is his friend, yet because of his persistence. You see, the guy doesn't leave when his friend says, come back tomorrow. He knocks on the door again, and he says, but my friends are here tonight. They've traveled for hours. They've been late getting here, and I have nothing to set before them. Get up and give me some bread. And he says he will get up and give him bread, not because he's his friend, but because he was persistent in asking. So that part of the story is the same as the unjust judge. The unjust judge was not her friend. This man is a friend. And yet, he did not want to be troubled at an inopportune time. There's a TV commercial, and I like it. I don't care about it. I don't even know what it advertises. I think it's a car company. But there's 3 people standing there, and the guy has a trophy. And he says, this is the dependability trophy. And he hands it to one of the people. He says, give it to your friend that's most dependable. And the people just go. They don't want to do that. Because as soon as you hand it to this person, you just told that person. You see what I'm saying? I thought of that too when I was thinking about this verse. Maybe he wasn't his friend. You start trying to analyze, you know. Maybe he wasn't really a good friend after all. No, he is his friend. Maybe it was just the lateness of the hour, and the man was, have you got somebody, just don't raise your hand, this is rhetorical of sorts, have you got somebody in your life that if you call them at midnight, they'd be on the road? You got one of those? You want to have somebody in your life that would not say, could we get that tomorrow? I mean, I'll get up early, but not right now. I don't want to be that troubled for somebody else. You say, you'll not get the dependability award. See, that's what Jesus is talking about. Who is it that you can call on who is dependable enough that no matter what time you call, they're ready? Anybody know who that is? His name is Jesus. That's right, Jay. He's pointing up. We have a friend that sticks closer than a brother. We have a friend in Jesus. And all we have, see, it's all there if you ask for it. Does that make the sermon title make a little more sense? It's all there. Anything you need is there, but we don't ask. You have not because you ask not. Isn't that easy? Wow. Wow. So, let me go on. I told those guys this was going to be a short sermon. It's the introduction that always gets us. Now, yeah. Somewhere in here, where was I? Verse what? 9? Is that good? I say to you, though he will not rise, he is strength, but because of his persistence, he will rise and give him as many as he needs. He says, 3? Better take 5, man, because I don't want you here in the morning. Will 6 get you through the day? This isn't, that, man. So I say to you, listen now, Ask, and it will be given to you. Seek, and you will find. Knock, and it will be opened to you. For everyone who asks receives, and he who seeks finds, and to him who knocks it will be opened. Glory to God. Father, bless the reading of your word. I ventured off there during it, so I apologize for that, Lord. But bless the reading of your word. This is a self-preaching sermon. Just read the scripture and let it speak to us, Lord. It's all there if we will ask. Father, tonight, I don't know what you want to do in here, Lord. I don't know what you want to say to people, but Father, we're 1 week away from a revival in our church, and I know what I want to ask for. We need your help. We need your help tonight. And I pray that you would meet with us this very hour in Jesus' name. Amen. Now, I like this story. It gives us a little bit of an insight. I'm going to tell you what I learned when I was in Israel. I tried to find a picture. I was going to put a picture up, and I couldn't find exactly what I was looking for. But if you've ever looked at the Church of the Annunciation, that's what it's called. It's a Catholic church because that's kind of who they went and built all these churches in Israel. And so it's a Catholic church, but it's built over the old city of Nazareth. And I had a card. I carried it a long time, and I lost it. But it was the first Church of the Nazarene in Nazareth. I said, shouldn't that be like the first one of all? The first Church of the Nazarene, that's the guy's card. He was an Egyptian. He's preaching at a Nazarene church. I guess they don't get a lot of Jewish people. I don't know. But we went to that church, and man, it's just something crazy about being at the first Church of the Nazarene in the city where the Nazarene lived. I mean, you think about that. That was crazy. But that's the city. Now, underneath this Church of the Annunciation was the dig where they had uncovered the original city of Nazareth. One street. And you just sitting there walking around in these, you can still see the foundations. In one house, there was a round oven. If you need bread, where are you going to go get it? At the one guy's house who has an oven. Isn't that good? I was like, oh, yeah. Yeah. See, most of us, which you know, I'm talking about 2,000 years ago, you didn't jump in the car and run to the convenience store. There was no Hy-Vees 24 hours a day. You went to where the source was, and in this case, the source was the man or the woman who was the baker for the community. Wow. I'm just giving you that because that puts skin on Jesus for me. That makes this a parable that he probably had seen lived out in his life, probably why he told the story. And I just really, I'd like that. So when you know you need bread. Now, you realize an analogy, you know what an analogy is? An analogy is when you use a phrase or a picture to paint a picture of something else. So when you know you need bread, let me give you John 6, 48 and 50. This is Jesus speaking once again. I am the bread of life. Your fathers ate the manna in the wilderness and they're dead. This is the bread which comes down from heaven, that one may eat of it and not die. Just so we're absolutely sure what bread is that we're talking about the bread that is Jesus Christ and his life in our life. We're not talking about bread. We're talking about bread. Just so you know, because we use the analogy of bread because it works really good. Let me give you an example here. So Jesus is the bread that we need. So a fresh awareness. Did you hear the bread analogy? Fresh bread. Fresh bread's better, isn't it? Man alive, I don't know if I should tell this. 60s plus. That means people over 60. I recently became a member of that austere group. But I got to go before that because my wife entered the club first. Uh-oh, just a day or two before me. My wife right now, in the oven, I hope, not, in the oven, in the kitchen, my wife is cooking a peach cobbler for 60 plus. Yeah, I know. Yeah, suddenly I'm feeling older. I'm feeling about 60 right now. If you go back there tonight, when people walk in, I told my wife, I said, she said, should I cook this and take it? I said, no, no, cook it in the oven. So when people walk in the door, they're going to smell fresh baked peach cobbler. There's just something about fresh you can't beat. I'll talk about that again in point two. But I'm using the analogy of fresh awareness of my need of Jesus. And I'm going to ask you a question now. What does it mean to have your relationship with Jesus Christ to become stale? Did you hear that bread analogy? Fresh or stale? How many of you have ever prayed a prayer and felt like it barely got out of your mouth before it fell down on the floor? Don't raise your hand. That's rhetorical. But how many of you have ever prayed and looked up and said, I don't think God heard that? It's like your lips are moving, but there's no sound coming out. You feel like you are not where you need to be with God, and so you feel like your prayers are not heard. You feel like there's a disconnect. And so people will say, boy, I've been walking in a dry place lately. You know what that means? Their relationship with God is stale. It's not fresh. It's not up to date. His mercies are new every morning. You can freshen it up every single morning. And actually, to make sure you don't have to break the fast for very long, you can freshen it up just before you go to sleep, and I highly recommend it. You can lay on your pillow, put your head on the pillow, and say, God, and recount to him something from that day. It's up to us, and I'm going to get to this in a minute. It's up to us to keep our relationship where it needs to be. God's all for it. If somebody, was on that this morning, if anybody's moved, it is not God. It's me, and it's you. So if we're separated from God, it's not because he walked away from us. It's because we have walked away from him or let some wedge come down. Most of us do not. I'm repeat the question. What does it mean to have your relationship with Jesus Christ to become stale? Most of us, without needing this explained, know what it means already, what it feels like, and what the need is. But for some reason, we don't always seem to know how to get back to where we need to be. Isn't that crazy? We say, boy, I'm walking in a dry place. I feel like I'm disconnected from God. I don't know what to do. That's a really strange thing to say. If you've ever been connected to God, you know what to do to get closer to him. Get closer to him. He hadn't moved. I'm not going to tell those thing about, you know, who moved. Couple's driving in the car, and the lady's over by the other window, and she says, when we first got married, we'd drive, and you'd have your arm around me and pull me up close, and now I'm way over here. And he says, I'm right here under the wheel. Thank you, Mike. Thank you. Oops, I shouldn't have said Mike. I know. Yeah. Whoa, don't say names during sermons. It wasn't Mike Orman. It was another Mike. Since that will be on the internet sometime next week. You may be on an inner tube. I don't know about that one. See, the question is, who moved? Who moved? Nowadays, you got stinking bucket seats with those consoles, and man, I got to reach over and just hold her hand at a distance. That's the best you can do. I'm going to give you the very first short answer. You ready? Hunger. Hunger is the sensation that there is a lack in your life. This is not even the bread analogy. You ready? You know this already. Matthew 5:6. Jesus said this as well. Blessed are they who do hunger and thirst for righteousness, for they shall be filled. Blessed are they who do hunger and thirst for righteousness, for they shall be filled. I'm walking in a dry place. What do you need? A drink. Thirst. I feel like I'm stale. I feel like I'm disconnected from the freshness of the bread of God. Hunger. This is just way too easy. But when babies are crying, there's generally two things that might be the problem. One is hunger. I'll let you figure out what the other one is. But when a baby doesn't know how to say, hey, could I get some lunch? Do you think a bottle's appropriate right about right now? Because I'm starving over here. They don't know how to say that. They don't know how to say words yet. So what do? Wah! Are you speaking in my son's ear right now, Lois? I see Lois has leaned up harassing my son because I held that baby today. And she bright eyes. She looked right at me. She cried. I handed her back to her daddy, who handed her back to his mother, his wife. See, that tells me that baby's hungry. You ever cried out to God? See, if you're hungry, you cry out to God and say, God, I'm hungry. I'm thirsty. I'm so tired of walking in this dry place. I'm so tired of being in this stale relationship where I don't feel like I'm even moving. I'm not going anywhere. I'm stuck. Wow. So, do you need fresh bread? Do you need fresh bread? And are you hungry enough to get it? That's two questions right there. Do you need fresh bread? Now, maybe you're just so up to date that you say, you know what? I'm really pretty good. I'm really pretty good. Man, praise God. Are you hungry for more? Do you ever get hungry for more? Wow. I had a man waiting on me, Bo, this morning, waiting on me at my car, who was at that retreat. And he said, I just wanted to tell you, that was a true story. I knew it was. But he said, I was there, and I felt that too. We were talking about this morning, being hungry for a move of God that moves us. A move of God that doesn't move us. I don't get the point of that anyway. God doesn't need anything. We need Him. And if He comes with a visitation, you remember that sermon last week? A visitation, of His presence, a visitation, and a habitation. If He comes and we're not moved by that, something's broken worse than simply being in a dry place. So the answer to both of those questions is yes, because even if you were fresh today, you may not be tomorrow. And if you were fresh last Wednesday, you may not be tomorrow. We all need to keep our relationship fresh. And the question is, are you hungry enough to go get it? And that may be no, but the answer should be yes. So here's point number two. It answers those questions. Yes, bread takes effort on our part. This is amazing to me. I don't even understand this, but some people act like it's God's job. It is the job of the Holy Spirit. It is the job of Jesus to do for us with no effort on our part. And that if He doesn't, that must mean He's good with where we are. Man, I just point people to Revelation 3:9. I invite you to write that. Go read that. Go read. Only don't make it 3:9. Make it 3:20. I get you the wrong verse. Revelation 3:20. Behold, I stand at the door and knock. This is Jesus talking to a church. Behold, I stand at the door and knock. If any man will hear my voice and open the door, I will come into them and sup with them, and they with me will break bread. We'll break some bread. But I'm out here where there is no doorknob. All I can do is knock. You have to make the effort. And if you want to say in your mind, I don't have to make effort, God will just do what He wants to do, I'm telling you, you need to study your Bible a little bit more. That is not how it works. This is another issue. I say in the modern church, I'm saying in the American church more than anywhere else. People find their relationship with Christ cooling, and instead of getting closer to the oven, they actually move away. And they begin to rationalize about how good old bread is. Now, I know if you know my sermon on Let's Bake Some Bread, this is right out of there. People began to stand around, bread cooks, bread bakers. Colonial Bread is where it's at in Des Moines, Iowa. If you've ever been there, you know it's now on the historic register. That big 3 or 4 story building, Colonial is good bread, but they don't bake bread there anymore. Isn't that crazy? They used to bake bread in there, but now they don't. So I have this vision, and I know it isn't, but I have this vision of these guys all wearing white clothes, and they're all holding recipe books, and they go, oh boy, remember honey buns? Peach cobbler will do the same thing tonight, but remember honey buns? Look, the recipe for honey buns. Wow. Boy, we made some good honey buns, didn't we? Another guy comes over and says, yeah, but there's nothing like just a good fresh loaf of bread. How many thousands of loaves did I put out of here? Good fresh bread. Colonial. It's good bread. And on the floor there's flour. And they're wearing their white baker suits and they're reading their recipe. Are you with me in the analogy? Are you with me in the analogy? And they say, oh, I remember back in, and they put a year there. And they go, oh, I remember, oh, God came. He turned up the ovens. He put the bread in. And oh, when it baked, oh, I'll never forget back then. Can I tell you, God doesn't care about back then if today the ovens are cold. And we're just simply reading an old recipe, but doing nothing with it. Boy, if you've ever thought about saying amen in a church service, that'd been a great time to say it right there. Or something like, God help us. Or something like, God do it again. What if 2017 turned out to be the best year in the life of this church? Because we got hungry. And we said, I want fresh bread. But if we rationalize and go back in the past and look back at some other year and say, boy, that was the good year, we'll learn to get content eating old bread. Oh, content. Let me give you something to be content about. Now, I know, let me just tell you this. I use this analogy a lot because it's so easy. This, I will ask you to raise. How many of you have bought bread in a thrift store? Raise your hand if you bought bread in a thrift store. Good number of you. Some of you haven't. Praise God. But if you've ever been to a bakery thrift store and bought bread, I'm about to give you 4 things you've got to be willing to do in order to eat it. You got to set aside some things in your life to eat bread from a thrift store. This is lettered A, B, C, D. A, go home and freeze it. When it thaws, it'll be fine. How many of you have ever said that? No. It's like, I've said that myself. And when I thaw it, it's actually still hard. But you know what I tell myself? It isn't that bad. Huh? It isn't that bad. We get content eating old bread. Do you see what that does to us? I could go on these a long time, and I'm not going to. Letter B, a few seconds in the microwave freshens it right up. Amen. We live in a microwave world. Oh, Pastor, this morning you ran right up to noon. Praise God. I have to tell people from time to time this. I was watching TV today. The guy made this point. I was laughing at myself because he was preaching this theme from the book of Ruth and Bethlehem being the house of bread and the famine. Hey, he was preaching my sermon from that book, and he was applying it here. And he said, people come to church today, and they say, I'll give you 1 hour, then I'm going to start staring at that clock. I had a guy tell me, he said, you know,
I preached over one week, and the next week there was a small clock sitting right there. I'm prone to run over a little bit. If y'all didn't know it, I am a professional talker. It's what I get paid to do. Oh, man, I don't get paid extra for staying here. I'm not on the clock. Man, a few seconds in the microwave freshens it right up. Make her quick. Just give me something I can throw in the microwave because I got other things to do. You're not talking about me. You're talking about God here now. You're talking about not giving God the time he needs. Wow. Letter C. It's a good deal for the money you save. I ain't even touching that one, but wow. If you have a smartphone, you can afford bread. I think I'm done. That somebody picked it up, I noticed. If you can afford a smartphone, you could have that bread. But, Pastor, I couldn't have so many gigs of data. I don't even know what I just said. See, are you willing to substitute to have what you want? Do you know how many people say, I can't afford to give money to the church? I can't afford it. Hang on, I'm getting a call. Amen. That was a good place to say amen. That was a good place right there. So see, the deal with money is I'll do without something to save money to have something I do want. And the first thing that goes is our giving to the church, because I got to have something I want. So I can't give. So I'm done with that one. You got the point. All I had to do was say money, and that's, you just shuts that down right there. So let me give you D. You ready for D? Who cares if the Twinkies are crushed? I'm going to eat them anyhow. All I'm going to do is chew them up. As long as they got some cream in there, I don't care how smushed they are. So I go to the thrift store and buy stuff that somebody sits in the back and mashes it up, puts a black mark on it so they can't sell it in a store. How many of you have been in a thrift store? Am I not telling you the truth right there? Don't throw that Twinkie in the microwave. Golly. Oh, then people start. There is no letter E. You can make a really good bread pudding with old honey buns. Yeah. That insulted Marydale, what I just said. The queen of bread pudding. Amen. You don't make bread pudding out of old honey buns from the thrift store. It ain't good. We tell her, it's not that bad. It isn't that bad. I ain't talking about a thrift store. I'm talking about Jesus. It ceases being funny when you put those same analogies into your relationship with Jesus. Notice how quiet it just got in here. We were all like, ha, ha, ha. If this preaching thing ever fails, I'm going to go to stand-up comedy. I'm just going to talk about having been in the church, and then people will laugh, and I'll get paid for that, so it'll work out. Do we condition ourselves to have lower expectations and to ignore the better available alternative? It's right here. It's here. All you want. But you have to ask for it. Wow. In our case, it isn't fresh bread at all. It's revival. Revival takes effort on our parts. Prayer. Being here. Setting aside other things to make the time to be in God's house. You know Dan Bohi? We might be here till 9 o'clock. You say, I can't stay that late. What are you going to go home and watch a TV program till 11? Huh? I can't give God. That's what you're really saying. I can't give God that much time. I'll just get something and throw it in the microwave. It's all right. Man, I want the fresh stuff. Jesus gives us the recipe for fresh bread. So I say to you, ask and it will be given, seek and you will find, knock and it will be opened to you. I got a 3-point sermon. I'm done. But I just did the whole 3 points right there. This is overly simplistic. But sometimes we may actually overthink things and make it harder than we need to. Jesus' invitation to us for more of Him. It's all here. But He says, ask. Letter A, ask. Now think about that. If you need a tire fixed, do you go to the thrift store, the bakery thrift store? Go in and tell them, hey, I got a flat out there. No, you don't do that. You go to a tire shop. If your relationship with Jesus is not what it ought to be, where do you think you ought to go? This is the place. So many times people, they run from God instead of to God. Ask. Just come to Him and ask. You know, this is going to shock some of you silly. You might as well tell Him the truth, since He already knows the truth. Tell him what you need. Tell Him how you feel. It may be that He's more understanding than you think. It may be that you're not the first person who's ever felt removed and in need of a fresh touch. Ask. That's really the sum total of it, but let's look at letter B. Seek. Seek the best. Not some thrift store. Religion. Church is not an outlet mall. I didn't even go on outlet malls. Church should not have a thrift store mentality. Seek and you will find. Knock and it will be open. I'm in letter C now. Ask. Why should we not think God will give us the very best? Why should we think that God would not want to bless us if we are His children? See, there may be something slightly off kilter in the church today where we think God would prefer us to live in the thrift store. God doesn't want us to live in the thrift store. He wants our relationship with Him to be fresh and new every day. And He wants to bless us every single day. Which leads us to find. Going back briefly, Jesus is not playing hide and seek. In the parable of the unjust judge and in the parable of the man who knocked on the door, He was simply making the point, you be persistent. God is not on the inside saying, oh, you know, it's the wrong time. Oh, you know, I already got my children. That God is not saying that. He's saying, that's how the world is. That's how the world is. But that's not how I am. God says, ask, seek, and knock, and it will be opened, and you will find. And the baker said, come back tomorrow. Jesus says, ask now. So I'm like, Rosemary? Where'd Rosemary go? Is she in here? Yeah. Little long walk. Riley was over there. You know what? This is the Sunday night. The next service we have in this room right here will be Sunday morning next week, and we're going to have revival. And I will tell you how I want to end this service with only 5 minutes to go, if we're trying to keep it in an hour. But I can't let that cobbler burn. Rosemary's going to start playing something. You know, sometimes you could play Mary Had a Little Lamb, and that's a true story. His name was Jesus. But I got to wonder, first of all, tonight, if there's anybody just plain old hungry in this room. We're going to pray for revival, by the way. But I wonder if there's anybody that's just hungry. And it maybe has been a long time. You've been so content to just kind of like go along, bouncing along. But you know you want something better. You want the best God has for you. I'm doing it hard. This is hard. This is horrible for preachers to do this. I'm not going to say all heads bowed and no one looking around. I'm going to say if tonight you're hungry, I'm going to ask you to stand up and walk down here right where you're at.